Chapter 4, Ezra, chapter 4. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Find Psalms, go back that away, and just a few books. Ezra, chapter 4. Long time ago. Whew, how long ago was that? 40 years ago? I was in the Army. And we used to go on hikes in the Army. Now, I know you guys in the Air Force have never been on a hike, okay? Yeah, that's different. Okay, I'm not talking about walking across the street to the ice cream parlor. That is not a hike, okay? And a hike, they're long. 5 miles, 10 miles, And in the Army, unlike the Air Force, we don't have people to carry our stuff for us. We had to carry it ourselves. And then we'd all be together in a group, walking along, and it was never, ever a road. It was always out in the middle of nowhere in some trail and through the ravines and through the creeks and stuff like that. And we did have pretty good boots, but have you ever gotten a pebble in your boot while you're hiking? Well, again, in the Air Force, this is just strange to those fellows. They don't have a clue what I'm talking about, okay? But in the Army, you're walking along and you get a rock in your boot. Now, that's pretty hard because the boots fit real good. We had decent boots, too. And I never saw the Air Force. They wore boots in the Air Force. I thought they wore tennis shoes. I thought the Air Force wore tennis shoes. They don't wear tennis shoes? And sandals. I've seen them in sandals before. Anyway. And the trouble is, you're going to go about 10 miles, and you're walking just about as fast as you can walk without running, and you can't stop. And every time you take a step, you step on that silly pebble. You can imagine how annoying that is. It doesn't stop you, but it sure does make things complicated, doesn't it? It makes things unpleasant, unless you're in the Air Force. Don't worry about it, guys. The word, the Hebrew word for pebble, it's one of the ways that word is used, is also the word in Hebrew for an adversary or an enemy. That's interesting. In Ezra chapter 4, what have these people been through? They've traveled, well, I forgot the distance now. Was it 500 miles or whatever from where they were back to Jerusalem? And they've gotten there. And now they're going to start trying to rebuild the temple. And it's just lots and lots of challenges. And then you got to have adversaries. If you don't know what that word means, it's enemies. Somebody trying to stop you. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read just first 5 verses. We'll spend a little time on this tonight. And then we'll see the letter that they wrote next week, which is really kind of funny. But anyway, Ezra chapter 4. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then, listen to this, this is interesting, then they came to Zerubbabel, he's the leader of the Jews, and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. What? For we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyr, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. We ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors, and that word there is the same as the word attorney just about, hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we have a God that's bigger than our adversaries. Lord, thank you tonight that even though there are adversaries, and we've heard about them tonight, people going door to door, and someone who hates God and hates those that serve God would speak out and use foul language and try to make a scene. Lord, what that shows us is that what we're doing is important and right, and the devil hates it. The reason we have adversaries is because the devil is an adversary, and he stirs people up and things up to try to stop us. God, help us not to stop. I pray you'd bless our time together tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sitting in my desk in Salt Lake City, Utah, was an assistant pastor, and a lady walks into church, and Pastor Corkish sent her down to my office. Thank you very much. And she said, "Hey, I'm from the Mormon church, and we'd like to help you people. We'd be glad to come over here and clean your parking lot and paint and trim your bushes." And that rascal, the pastor, was just checking me out to see what I would do. And I did not say it. I wish I'd have said it the way that Zerubbabel said it. But I said, "No, that's okay. The truth of the matter is you people are on one side, we're on the other side, and we can do this work just fine." Folks, it's a pleasure to serve God. You say, if we had more people, we could get more done. You know what? God can get it done all by himself. You say, "Well, it's just too bad there's not more of us." No, we have God. We have all we need. And if God gave you a shovel and a 20-foot tall pile of sand and said, "Move the sand," you say, "Well, if I had 10 people, I could move that sand 10 times quicker." That's not the point. This is not a race. It is serving God. Sometimes we apply the world's philosophy when we try to do God's work. You can't do that. So here in Ezra chapter 4, that very, very first verse says the adversaries. The word's the enemy. It's the same Hebrew word for a pebble, or there's another word. It also means a flint. Like if you ever had a piece of wood get stuck in your finger and you can't get it out, and it swells up a little bit and it hurts when you touch it, and if you're trying to do a job, like we were walking down the road and I got a pebble in my boot, I can't stop and take it out. I got to keep up with everybody else, and it just annoys me and annoys me and annoys me. And if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, listen to this. You have an adversary called the devil. 1 Peter 5:8. And he will annoy you as much as he can. And he will try all sorts of things to get you. He will tempt you with sin. He will put grumpy people at the door for you to knock on that door and hear from them. He will give you a flat tire. He'll try to make you sick. He'll do what he can to stop you. I'm glad the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Why does God allow that? You think, you know, it's tough enough as it is. I mean, we've already got a lot of work to do. But again, you're thinking about it in the world's terms. In worldly philosophy, we're trying to get a job done. In God's service, we're trying to serve God. I mean, folks, there's, I don't know the number now, but it's well over 6 billion people in the world. That's a stack of pennies, 1,600 miles high. That's how many people that is. If you started stacking pennies, when you got 1,600 miles high, that's 6 billion people. How many of them can you witness to? If you went out every day, all day long, and witnessed to as many people as you can, you couldn't even scratch the surface. If everybody in our church went out all day and witnessed to everybody we couldn't even scratch the surface. The point is not getting the job done. The point is serving God, and then God gets the job done. So when adversaries come along, when the enemy comes along, first rule, it's our work. It's not the enemy's work. I get to stack some stones up and build the temple of God. The enemy says, "I want to help." Well, we'll get to rule two in a minute. He doesn't want to help. But rule one is, God gave us the work. You know, I like to use military history for Christian applications because this is a battle. And in World War II, General Patton, he would do amazing things. And the other generals said, "You know, if we had more equipment and more men and more tanks, we could do what Patton does." And Eisenhower says, no. Patton's using what he got. He's using what he has and accomplishing amazing things. You got to use what you got. You know, you say, God, if I had more, I could do it. God knows what we need. When you do the work, it is our privilege to go and you knocked on a door and you witnessed to somebody and they got saved. 100 of them didn't get saved, but one of them did. But you know what? The Bible says in Corinthians, every one of those counts. 101 count. They're all a sweet savor to God. He says we're a sweet savor. That means we're pleasing. I'll just use that word. We taste good, so to speak. We smell good, so to speak. We're a sweet savor to in them that believe and in them that believe not. Because God could have made the stars or the rocks share the gospel. But he let us. Don't look at serving God like a task to get done. I know there are tasks. Wow, vacation Bible school. That's a task, isn't it? But do you know what vacation Bible school is about? Serving God. And sometimes what we try to do is we try to do it in our strength instead of his. I think we all should stop and say, Lord, thank you for using me. And not, can I have 10 more people to help? The adversaries, it's not their work, it's our work, okay? That's one rule. The second rule is, you can't make peace with the adversary. You'd like to. That would seem the easy thing to do, and a lot of people have tried it, and a lot of people have failed. You see, if you look what happens here, it says in verse 2, they came to Zerubbabel, he's the leader, and to the chief of the fathers, and they said, let us build with you. That sounds pretty good. Hey, more help. Well, rule 1, we don't need more help, we need God. Rule 2, that's not what they really want to do. They're looking for an opportunity. I'd bore you with the stories, but when we tried to build in Maryland, crazy things happened. Attorneys calling me, threatened to sue the church, and they're funny to me. To you, it would just be boring stories, but I saw so many crazy things happen. One lending company tried to rip us off, and they sent us a contract. If we'd have signed that contract, we'd have been in so much trouble. And the enemy cannot be pacified. Now listen, this will be a little over some of your heads, but what, 150 years ago, there was a lot of folks on the East Coast, and they were Congregationalists. There's still a few of those kind of churches around today. And they had a pretty good doctrinal statement, but the trouble is they were liberal. And we talked about that before. They really didn't believe that Jesus did miracles. They really didn't believe in the virgin birth. But they had a pretty decent doctrinal statement in some ways. And they'd come in and they'd take a church and it sounded like they were on our side. And today those churches are all nothing. They're not preaching the gospel. They're not doing anything for God. Those people that came in simply destroyed things. The enemy, you cannot get along with him. Now, what went wrong? This has happened before. I told you about the Mormons in Salt Lake City, but the Catholics do this all the time. They're trying to say, hey, let's all get together. You heard this business of all the Christians ought to be one, right? That sounds pretty good. Here's how we can be one. The Bible says in Amos, if we are agreed, then we can walk together. Okay, now I could start applying some specific things. Who is your God? Oh, you have to have the same God. These guys didn't have the same God. They said they did, but they lied. Secondly, how'd you get saved? Someone says, well, we're saved by being members of the Catholic Church and doing good works and sacraments and last rites and purgatory. No. I can't walk with you when you don't believe the Bible. Right? So I'll just say it. I don't know how many of you will understand this. You might have heard the term new evangelicalism. A long time ago, I used to teach classes on this, and then I kind of thought, you know, there's got to be a better way to spend our time. But there are people out there. And what they would like to do is get us all to agree. Let's get the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and Methodists and the Baptists and the Church of Christ and let's all get together. I think I saw a time before that happened at the Tower of Babel. Didn't that happen at Babel? Let's all get together. And it didn't work because the unity was based on a wrong idea, a wrong motive, a wrong purpose. If Folks, our purpose is to get the truth out. And I can't work with somebody that doesn't have the truth and it's going to get the wrong truth out. And there's some good books. There's a guy shares my last name spelled differently. And he wrote a book and talked about how the Catholics and these other groups had tried to get together. Folks, in the end, you can't cooperate with the enemy. He's not on your side. You say, well, Pastor, if we could just get along with everybody. Yeah, if Cain and Abel could have got along. But no, they were going different directions. These people are not trying to help. They're trying to find a way to destroy things. And so in practice, as a church, you know what? We got to be careful who we cooperate with. People come to town, they rent a stadium, and they get some rock music and some light show and some famous guy to come in. You say, well, let's all work with those guys. They're not preaching the same gospel we're preaching. I'm telling you, there are big problems. I tell you right now, what we call this, by the way, and it's not a popular subject, it's called separation. But here's the thing. First and foremost, this is the Word of God. And this is where I walk. And if you want to walk with me here, we'll get along pretty well, probably. But if you want to say you walk here and you walk somewhere else, we're probably not going to get along in the end. I don't wish. That's what God said. It's just that way. There's always been an adversary. Now look what happens here. We'll look at it some more next week. I don't want to take too much time. But the adversaries came. They said, let's help. Zerubbabel in verse 3, and the rest of the chief of the fathers said, it sounds pretty cold. You have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, king of Persia, hath commanded us. What he says to him is, this is not your job, it's our job. And by the way, this is not your purpose, it's our purpose. There's a really good verse in the New Testament. And in fact, it's a passage, and I can't quote it as well as I'd like to, but I can tell you what it says. It says, if they were of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out from us because they were not of us. You know what? There's not a may involved here. I'm not the best preacher in town or in the country or whatever. I got the best Bible. And I know this, I've got God. And I'm going to be faithful. And there may be people that have got a lot more talent, a lot more organizational skills and all the rest of that. But folks, God put us here. Amen? And I wished I knew why we have so many chairs, but maybe someday God will fill them up. But here we are, and you know what? You say, well, what is our church all about? What are we doing here? Well, first and foremost, we're trying to glorify God. That's the most important thing. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, to glorify God, to give God credit, to make God look good, not just in men's eyes, because sometimes they don't see it, but in the angels' eyes and in God's eyes. What we do to glorify God. So we got to do it God's way with God's people in the place where God put us. And some people will come and they're looking for something else. You know, I told you, if you want to spend about $10,000, we can turn that whole back wall into LEDs and do some really neat light shows. I just don't remember Jesus doing light shows. Or Paul or Peter. And I don't really think that's why we want to get people here. Amen? We could give away gifts, or we could, I don't know, a $100 bill into one of the seats. If I did that, Isaiah or Joey would find it just like that, and I'd be done with that one. I'm just teasing, guys. No, we have to come here, and folks, you need to pray fervently that God's Spirit would meet with us and God's Spirit would be evident. That's what we want people to come to. And you'll notice that sometimes people will come and they'll go. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have continued with us. That's an obligation on our part. We need to be what we ought to be. Amen? Now, the enemy was not of them. Let's look at one last verse and we'll finish up here. So, two verses. Look in verse 4. Then the people of the land, the very same ones that were saying, let us build with you, by the way, back over in verse 2. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. And it tells how long that took. Folks, the devil's trying to stop us. He's going to try and discourage you. He's going to have people drop out of church. It breaks my heart to see people stop coming to church. And I was thinking about this the other day. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Let's just say the Lord came back. And all of us as a church meet with him. And I would stand up in the front and you guys would be right there with me. And I would say, Lord, this is Vision Baptist Church, as if he doesn't know. And these are the people that served God in that place where you put us, and they served faithfully, and they served, you know, fervently, and they did what they could. And then you look off in the distance and you see some people that used to be in the church and they're not here anymore. And the question would have to be asked of us and of them. Of us, how come those guys drifted away? And then of them, why didn't you stay with these folks? Amen? Hey, listen, 100 years from now, every one of us will be with the Lord. Right? To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. If you're planning to live past 100, let me know. Good luck with that. I'm not expecting to be here when I'm 163. We're going to be with the Lord. And the question is going to be, how did you use the life God gave you? What did you do with it? What did you do with your days and your hours and your minutes? Did you pray? Were you faithful? Did you stick it out? Did you serve? Did you build like these people here? They're building. Folks, you can't relive your life once it's over. Amen? It's a privilege to serve God. And the adversary is going to try and stop you. So just really quick, I got just a couple of minutes. I'll just answer a couple of questions here in terms of adversaries. First of all, why do you think God let us have adversaries? Why didn't God just prevent that? It's kind of hard enough as it is, maybe. No, God knew about the adversaries. Amen? God knew about the adversaries. The fact that you and I can keep on building with adversaries is, for the first place, to show something that when we trust God, nothing's going to stop us. Amen? And say, what about those folks that died as martyrs? Trust me, when they stepped into eternity, they were happy to have died for the cause of Christ. None of us may get that privilege, but we may get to live for him in some trying times. But at the end of the day, when we step into eternity, it's sort of like when they train you in the Army. Now, again, the Air Force guys, you won't understand this at all. But they have an obstacle course. And the Air Force guy's going, oh, that's that median between the ice cream parlor and the movie theater. I know what that is. No. They make you crawl through the mud. They make you climb under barbed wire. They make you jump over logs. They make you climb over fences. I guess in the Air Force, they just have a little paved path and they run along and they play music for them, you know, so they can all be happy while they're doing it. I'm teasing. Praise the Lord. Why do they make it hard? To make you strong? And forget the illustration. I don't want to make the Air Force guys mad. But at the end of the day, you can say, hey, I finished the obstacle course. As Christians, we have an obstacle course. Amen? Where do we get our strength? From God. Amen? And we just keep on going all the way to the end. And that's going to bring glory to God because you stuck it out. So the adversary is really an opportunity if you look at it that way. And then I've got two or three things here, but I haven't got time for all of them. You know, adversaries give you and I an opportunity to exercise our faith. In other words, when trouble comes along, oh, all of a sudden we're good prayer warriors, aren't we? You know, when everything's going smooth, we can get kind of quiet. But then when the trials come, that's when God's people really learn how to pray. And folks, God's bigger than the adversary. He just wants you to call on Him. He wants you to trust Him to give you victory. So the adversary is really an opportunity. We had a lady in our church in Utah, and she put a big sign in her front yard in late October that said, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." That's a Bible verse, by the way. And the pastor says, "What are you going to do when they throw pumpkins through your window?" She says, "I'm going to make pumpkin pie." But you know, there's never going to be any pumpkin go through any windows unless God lets it happen. Amen? I do not pretend to understand a lot of things. I've been through some trying times in my life. We know some folks like Al Price going through trying times right now. Eva, Brenda, others, some of you have been through some trying times, going through some trying times. Don't let the devil stop you. Just keep on going. Don't try to make friends with the adversary. That's not going to work. Don't try to compromise. You can't ignore them. You're going to have to deal with them. But we have a God that's big enough to get us through that. Amen? You're going to see it. They saw it last night. And we see it all the time. I don't like it in the sense of it's a pain in the neck when it happens. It's like that pebble in your boot. It just keeps annoying you. But let's finish the hike anyway. Let's all stand and pray.